Your past doesn't define you. Welcome to the 209th episode of Admission Straight Talk, the podcast dedicated to graduate admissions and helping you approach the application process thoughtfully and successfully. I'm Linda Abraham, the founder of Accepted and the host of this podcast. My mission and passion is to help you show that you both fit in at your target schools and are a standout in the applicant pool. The result? You get a message one day that causes you to jump up and down shouting, "Yes, I'm in!" And not only in, but in at the best program for you. Today is one of those shows where I'm going to be the sole presenter. It'll probably be a little shorter than usual, too, as a result. I'm either interviewing myself, but I'm not really interviewing myself. I'm just going to share some thoughts that I've been kind of percolating for the last several months, actually. I really started preparing this show during the World Series way back in October. Yes, folks, after 108 years of losing, the Chicago Cubs finally won the World Series. At the same time, we here at Accepted were working hard and have worked in the past with amazing applicants who overcame all kinds of hurdles, sometimes large, sometimes small, to get accepted either the first time around or via reapplication. To me, as when the news, the airwaves and the newspaper and the internet were just full of the stories of the Cubs winning the World Series in an amazing last game, the stories actually had a lot in common. The applicants and the Cubs didn't let their past define them. They looked to the future. And that's what applicants need to do, both first-time applicants and reapplicants, as they approach the admissions process. I find that while you can't and shouldn't ignore your background and previous experiences, both good and bad, applicants tend to focus inordinately on the past, both good and bad, and way too little on the future. And the truth is that for graduate school admissions, the future that you desire plays a role in your acceptance or rejection. How you present that future, how well you've thought about it, and your ability to show that you belong at a target program, which is based on what you intend to do, at least partially, is one of the criteria for acceptance. So when you focus exclusively on the past, whether it's with a certain amount of chest thumping because you did well, or a little bit of shame and regret because it doesn't present you as you'd like to think of yourself, it's not good if you're not also keeping your eye on the future. It hurts you. I sometimes have inquiries from applicants that start with what they've done in the past. And certainly, as I just said, past achievements and blemishes are critical to this arduous process that you're going through, this application process. They have to be dealt with, at least the blemishes, and the achievements will help you get accepted. But the starting place for your application has to be your goals. What do you want to do when you finish your education? The answer to that question determines what degree you seek, the best schools for you to get it at, and the future you see for yourself is really the starting place for your application. As Stephen Covey said, one of the 7 habits of highly effective people is begin with the end in mind. And yes, it's probably the first of the habits of highly effective applicants. Begin with the end in mind. Once you have that first ingredient of a successful application, you need to season it and perhaps temper it with your past. Season it, show the growth, show impact, show leadership, show achievement. Temper it, well, if there were some less than great grades, transcript, test score, some areas where you're weak experientially, then maybe you have to, again, pull back from some of the more competitive schools that you might otherwise consider. Your past will show if you are competitive in ways other than your goal. Look to see that you meet the requirements of your target programs in terms of what you have done. Do you have the appropriate degree? Have you taken the required classes? Are your test scores, did you take the right tests, and are your test scores in the, let's say, 80th percentile? That middle 80th percentile of accepted students? Do you have relevant experience if it's required, whether it's full-time work experience for the MBA or relevant clinical exposure, not necessarily paid, for the MD? Law schools are more and more wanting some exposure to law, the practice of law, in their applicants too. Then once you kind of collect that information. I would advise you to do it on paper, but you don't have to. Then evaluate your competitiveness by comparing your profile with the class profiles and other qualitative information available from your target programs and perhaps its students and recent alumni. You should be competitive at most of the programs you're applying to. So I think it's fine to have a couple of dream schools or stretch or reach schools where you're not confident of getting accepted, as long as most of the programs that you're applying to, you are fairly confident of acceptance, or at least you're competitive. If not, you either have to improve your qualifications or change your target schools. Realize that for the overwhelming majority of you, there are multiple paths to whatever your goal is. You don't all have to go to Harvard or whatever top choice grad school you want to be the doctor, lawyer, business person, academician, or whatever it is that you want to be. If top choice you and its close cousins that are all probably also out of reach didn't exist, what would you do? Well, at that point, what would be your plan then? Would it be second tier you that still has excellent placement in the kinds of firms you want to work for or the specialties you'd love to match at? Would it be a different career path? Or you can choose to improve your qualifications to become competitive at top choice you. So again, what are your options? You know, you can improve your qualifications, change your goal, change your target school. But let's talk now again about improving your qualifications. We have lots of information on the site at www.exhibit.com about overcoming all kinds of weaknesses. And I'll recommend several specific resources later in the podcast. And I'll also link to the show notes at exhibit.com/209 to some of our main categories and the free resources that we have. But if you don't want to change your goal or change the schools you want to target, then you may need to change you to compete effectively in an intensely competitive process. And yes, change is hard. Changing yourself is really hard. This is where not letting your past define you truly comes into play. If you have poor study skills, take advantage of courses and resources to improve those skills, either at your undergraduate institution or through extension courses. If you had poor undergraduate grades, check out exhibit.com/137 for how to mitigate them, how to deal with them, how to show that past performance isn't really an accurate reflection of you today. If your test score is keeping you up at night, consider changing your method of study and retaking. If you did self-study to this point in preparing for your exam, try a course, online or offline, whatever works for you. If you tried a course previously, try tutoring now, or try offline if it was online before and vice versa. But you must change something if you want to expect a different outcome. Don't consider that you can just do the same thing over and over again and magically have a different result. If you come from a disadvantaged background or simply had a few bumps in the road of life, and let's face it, most people do, listen to the stories of people who have refused to let those bumps deter them from achieving their goals. I highly recommend the unbelievable story of an orthopedic surgeon at exhibit.com/136. His story is truly unbelievable and very inspirational, and he ultimately matched in one of the most selective residencies around. Or Wharton MBA student, single mom, and entrepreneur at exhibit.com/152. Again, she didn't let her past define her. Or the story of Elad Shushan, an MIT MBA who created a highly successful test prep app after struggling with a GMAT. You can find his story at exhibit.com/156. Now, let's look at reapplicants, where I think the maxim's applicability may be more obvious. Yes, you've been rejected, or think you will shortly be rejected from your target schools. You're disappointed, frustrated, maybe a little embarrassed, but this is a setback. It doesn't automatically need to be the end of your dreams unless you decide the dream no longer appeals or simply isn't feasible for you. You're not willing to put in the effort necessary to make it happen. That's okay. 100% okay. Research other paths and goals and dreams and go after them. The fact that this application or dream didn't work doesn't mean you won't succeed at others. Furthermore, you may look back in the future on this decision and say that you're glad things worked out as they did, because you may ultimately realize that this second choice is the best one for you. This has happened several times in my life, and if you keep perspective, it may be happening now in yours. Alternatively, If you decide that this dream, this goal, still is what you want to pursue, it animates and motivates you. You want it. You need to try again. And that's okay too. Great. The first step to a successful reapplication, then, is an evaluation of your last attempt so that you can improve. Again, you don't want to repeat the same thing that you did wrong last time. Again, and the past doesn't have to define you. Realize that rejection is caused by one of the following four broad strokes / reasons. One, you simply weren't competitive. Two, you were competitive at your target programs but failed to effectively present your qualifications. Three, you did a good job on one and two. In other words, you were basically competitive and you did present yourself well, but you were a victim of the numbers and intense competition at your target programs. And four, a combination of the above. It's easiest to point to a substandard GPA, test score, or some other quantitative element that isn't up to snuff because numbers are just so concrete and they're public. However, an unappealing presentation of your qualifications, for example, sloppiness in filling out the form, or typos, poor writing, or, on a more substantive level, failing to show fit, is just as dangerous, especially at highly competitive programs, be they MD, MBA, JD, or whatever. Being a victim of the numbers and competition almost always implies weakness in presentation or lack of competitiveness, which means that that combo comes into play a lot. Now, I think there's a certain temptation to say the numbers are concrete, but the easy thing is to say, oh, I was a victim of the numbers. I did a good job. I was competitive. I wrote well. I was a victim of an intense competition. That's what did it to me. And it could be the sole reason you were rejected. But it's a little bit lazy to assume that. So look really closely at the other elements or have somebody a little more objective than you look at them, like accepted.com. We do have a rejection review service. And see how much of a role somebody else thinks that competition played. A lot of times, as I said, number four, combo, that can be a major factor and it comes into play a lot, either with two of the three or all three of the other elements. To make sure that you have a different outcome next time around, you must change and improve whatever you feel is weak. Sometimes, in fact, almost always, it's easier said than done. But that's your mission now. That's your mission as you reapply. Furthermore, even if you feel that you presented yourself well via your essay and that your academic stats were the issue, you still need to show commitment to the process and growth from your last application. I strongly discourage, that's mild, submitting the same personal statement or application essay as you sent in last year if you're reapplying. Doing so will damage your chances of acceptance. Schools want to admit people who are going to put out the effort necessary to get accepted, who are growing, who are dynamic, not who are static and stagnating. For advice on mitigating less than stellar grades, because you're not going to want to do your whole undergraduate record again, please see exhibit.com/137. I mentioned it earlier. Low test scores, what can you do about that? Well, unfortunately, the best thing to do is to prepare again and raise them. I know that's much easier said than done, but that's really the reality of the situation. Most schools will weigh more heavily or look exclusively at your top scores. At this point, the GMAC, the GMAT, and the GRE both have either score cancel or score choice. So I would just, again, prepare again in such a way where you can change the outcome and then raise the score, if at all possible. We have tons of advice on the site related to presenting your qualifications and your essays and writing experience about experiences, your CV, your resume, and presenting your story to the school. Just go to exhibit.com and click on the area that you are pursuing, and we'll also include links to the specific areas in the show notes at exhibit.com/209. I'd like to highlight one podcast that I think is really, really important, and that is Focus on Fit, which you can find at exhibit.com/162. I devoted the entire podcast to demonstrating fit via your application, and I outlined four key elements necessary to do so. Finally, if you really don't feel you can improve those stats or the presentation of your qualifications, then you may need to change the way you achieve your goals. If you are pre-med, you may need to apply to lower-ranked MD programs or to osteopathic programs, or consider a Caribbean program. If you want to get an MBA to begin your career as a strategy consultant and can't get into the top McKinsey, Bain, BCG feeder schools, consider achieving your goal in stages. Start at a program that sends grads into second-tier consulting firms and plan to work your way over to the elite strategy firms or climb at those companies so that you get the best assignments. You'll still be doing the work you want to do. So that pretty much winds up what I want to say about the past doesn't need to define you. I hope for those of you approaching the application process for the first time that you're going to think a little bit about the future and how it should be guiding you in your decision-making process and also in your presentation. For those who are reapplying, rebounding from a rejection, I hope this gives you some advice on how you can take it forward in a positive way. Listener, you'll find links in the show notes at exhibit.com/209 to the resources I mentioned throughout the show, as well as to some that I didn't mention. If you found this show helpful, subscribe in iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or whatever your favorite podcatcher is. That way you won't miss anything in the future. We have some fantastic guests coming up, and you can find subscribe links at, you guessed it, exhibit.com/209. This is Admission Straight Talk, produced by Accepted, and I am your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again next week.
Our theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com.